Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. This is just a beautiful, beautiful Father's Day Sunday morning, and we are so glad that you're here. Fathers and mothers and others, we're all glad that we're here together. Want to recognize those folks that are with us for the first time. Do we have anyone that this is your first Sunday with us? Well, we're just all home folks then, aren't we? Good. Good to see everyone here today. There are a lot of announcements that are in your bulletin. I want to just draw your attention to just a couple of them. Specifically, that the junior highs are having a breakfast from 8 to 9:30. I think it's a free will offering to help them with their mission trip to Denton, Texas this summer. And then also, this coming Friday and Saturday, the Grace Team Garage and Yard Sale is going to be here at the church. So be sure and remember those things. Several other things, but you can certainly read those yourself this morning.
Connected with the yard sale, Steve and Susan Dornan are going to bring their barbecue set up, and they're going to set a barbecue, and they're donating 2/3 of the profit to the youth mission trip and the Grace Team. So, but the barbecue will be here.
Also, we sell the whole church for General Assembly, and we will, these people at the table, at a hospitality table, basically 18 hours a day, from about 8 o'clock till about 8:30 at night. That's not 18 hours, but it's just close. They can call late at night. This thing is almost full, boy. And if you want to get your name on the list,
Maybe they'll tear it between the two buildings. Next week, we don't know.
But we're saying to the construction people, go for it. We're going to bring everybody in the gym from the back door. I think that's going to be the entrance way, so construction will not bother that gathering. Thank you.
All right. I see that the registration booklets have been passed, so be sure and sign those. Any prayer or praise requests this morning? Well, all right. Let's just have a moment of silence before we begin our service, please.
Mr. George is with us this morning, and we have a memorial service for Ms. Bohannon. Yesterday was been a week, and to lift him up in prayer, Mr. George Bohannon. Also, Mrs. Ms. Baker's mama, Ella Rain, was buried Wednesday, too.
Amen. Our call to worship this morning, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Let us worship God.
Let's all stand this morning and sing Stand Up for Jesus. Hymn 477, 477.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, for to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are in now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger, and strength to strength oppose.
Stand up for
Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the voice of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Let's bow for prayer.
Lord God, as we come into your house this day to worship you in truth and in spirit, we come Father's Day and we acknowledge that you are the Father of us all, our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we first recognize you and acknowledge your fatherhood over us. But Father, we also come to remember earthly fathers, to bring some attention and some honor to them. And Father, we thank you for earthly fathers, for that honor, that privilege. And Lord, those who set the example before us. Lord, we come to worship in truth and in spirit. We pray that you would enable us to do just that. Lord, speak to us in the way that we need to be spoken to. Let your word sink deep into our lives. Lord, bless every effort that we offer that your name might be glorified. Through Christ Jesus we pray, praying even as he taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
As you turn in your hymnals to hymn 498, Peace Like a River.
Peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got love like a river, I've got love like a river, I've got love like a river
ocean
in my soul. I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean in my soul.
I'm used to singing that at camp, and we use river all the time. I'm sorry. Joy like a fountain.
I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul.
That was going to be the only mistake I made today. I'll be in good shape.
As a tribute to fathers, we have selected scripture, one concerning the loving father in the story of the prodigal son, and that father represents God, but a great example for fathers, loving fathers, forgiving fathers. Also, the Apostle Paul's instruction to husbands and how they should treat their wives and how they should treat their children. So, if you will join me in the responsive reading, and then we will sing 278. I think it's a John Newton hymn, and then we have a presentation for the fathers. Or all the men of the church, if we could have a couple of teenagers to come and help us. I see two young ladies, one here and one here. After the song, if you'll come forward, and we'll distribute the booklets. We have booklets for all the men of the church. And speaking of the prodigal son, so he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. And kill the calf that we have been fattening in the pen. We must celebrate with a feast,
For this son of mine is dead, and now he turns to life. He was lost, and now he is found. Have a party with
him. In Paul's words, you husbands must love your wives with the same love that Christ showed the church. He gave up his life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism and God's word.
He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other offense. Instead, she will be holy without fault.
In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man is actually loving himself when he loves his wife. As the scripture says, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one.
This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way of Christ.
So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Honor your father and mother. This is the first of the Ten Commandments that ends with a promise.
This is the promise. If you honor your father and mother, you will live a long life, a full blessing.
And now a word to you fathers. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction approved by the Lord.
Let's sing the first and last stanzas of hymn 278. First and last, okay?
That's fine.
All right.
Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure response? When salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. Round each habitation hovering, see the cloud and fire appear. Pour a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near. Thus deriving from their banner, light by night and shade by day, same thing beat upon the manna which he gives them when they pray.
Okay, Jessica with Tom. Nikki? Michael, would you like to come? Are you able to walk very well? Come and distribute for us, if you will. All the men. Thank
you. We got our order of worship a little bit out of order, so you know. to not confuse the ushers, we will go back and pick up the statement of faith and the glory patri, and then we will have the offering.
Join together as we do our statement of faith. It's 7:16 or it's on the wall, whichever you prefer. I believe in God the Father,
Father
Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Our offertory sentence this morning is found in Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the love that you showed for his sake in serving the saints, as you still do. Would our ushers come forward, please? I've asked Nikki if she would read our scripture lesson for us this morning.
Our scripture lesson today is from Luke 8, 11 through 15. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed is fell among thorns, stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and preserve, and by preserving produce a crop. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Seed, soil, are God's Word and me. We looked at the parable two Sundays ago, and I wasn't ready to leave it. I felt the need that we take a closer look at this parable, that we maybe apply it closer to ourselves. See how it fits. See where it fits us and we fit the parable. What does it say about us? What does it say about me? What does it say about you? Certainly, this parable is not only about people other than ourselves. We can read about it, we can read the parable, and we can talk about them. Oh, those folks. I find it to be very personal, very pointed toward me, and it might be toward you also. Let's get right to the explanation that Jesus gave. Verse 12. People hear the word, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Has that ever happened to you? Or maybe you don't believe in the devil. Jesus talked about him a lot. You're going to believe the Bible. That may be a part of it that you need to believe. That is a part of it that you need to believe. The devil. Satan. Opposition to the cause of good. Promoter of that which is bad. I have often said about the book of Revelation, which I have trouble understanding, and to explain my inability to understand, I've said that either God has not seen fit to reveal the deep meaning of the book of Revelation to me, or there's another possibility, at least one more. That being, the devil keeps me from understanding it or any part of it past chapter 3. I think I can understand the letters to the churches, to the seven letters to the seven churches. That's pretty plain. But then when you get to the horses and the riders and the visions, I get lost. And I can identify with what Jesus was saying, especially with that book and the last six chapters of Daniel connected with it. And I can believe that the devil has prevented me from understanding that. Maybe I just need to study harder, read more. But it's a possibility that God hasn't seen fit to really reveal it to me. I acknowledge that possibility also. Think about hearing, your hearing or your reading of God's Word. Or 2 weeks ago, we mentioned the Word. That's Jesus. John chapter 1. We find in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, a reference to Jesus. So if you think about the words, and that's really what Jesus was talking about, but if you think about Jesus Himself as the Word of God, the Word made flesh. So think about hearing or reading God's Word, or think about meeting Jesus and this Word, the printed Word or the spoken Word, or Jesus Himself. We've met Him and He has no effect on those who hear or those who meet Him. That old phrase, it's like water running off of the duck's back. The person that hears the Word, and the devil comes and snatches away that Word before it can have any influence on the individual that hears the Word, they are never really touched by the Word. Oh, it's thrown at them, but it kind of bounces off, if you will. These listeners, Jesus is saying, or if we be reading the Word, these readers may see the Word as applying to other people, but never to themselves. Or they may say Jesus is being okay for other people, but I don't need Him. And Jesus says some seed fall on a hard beaten path, and the birds come and gobble up those seeds before it can get into the path. And that's the devil taking away the Word. What about you and the devil? The devil comes and steals the Word away. The devil, the evil force in the world. Paul wrote about the power of evil in Ephesians 6 and called on us to be at war against the powers that be. Jesus dealt with the devil immediately following His baptism. There He used the Word, or He quoted the Word. The devil did. The devil was using the Word, but he twisted it. So he will, you know, get a little bit of the Word in, but he twisted it. And he urged Jesus to misuse the Word in his temptation story. Throw yourself down and the angels will come and protect you from hurting yourself. Or, you know, turn this stone into bread. He, the devil, may keep you from hearing the Word today. He may steal God's Word out of your mind. He may steal God's Word out of your heart. Even one of Jesus' disciples, that one that kind of rose to the top of the group, the Apostle Peter, the one that became known as the Apostle Peter, he tried to call Jesus away from following the Word or God's intent for him. Remember the story in Matthew chapter 16? Jesus is trying to talk to the disciples about his demise as far as his presence upon the earth in the physical form. He's talking about his death. And Peter came and said, that couldn't happen to you. It's Matthew 16, I think it's 22 and 23. That couldn't happen to you. Forbid it, Lord, to even think about such a thing happen to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. So here, even one of those closest to Jesus, even the inner circle of those 12, was being used of Satan to pull Jesus away from doing God's will. What about us? Are we ever pulled away, or do we have the Word of God or Jesus Himself separated from us by something? Snatched away out of our presence? I think we should say, pray that He doesn't get all of the seeds of the Word away from us. Pray that He doesn't get it all. We live by the Word from the mouth of God. And then the second example that Jesus used, there was four kinds of soil. The second kind of soil was rocky soil or stony soil. Verse 13. Jesus explained this by saying, some people hear the Word, they eat it up for a while, but soon they fade away. I cannot count the individuals that I have seen this happen to over the last 39 years. I was reflecting back on this week some of those individuals that came into the church or came to the church and got so excited about the things of the Lord. And they ran real faithful, so it appeared, for a while. And then other things, difficulties pulled them away. They were not well rooted. Maybe you have been tempted to give up on your Christian walk. Maybe you have been tempted just to drop out and say, it's not worth it. Drop out of the race. Maybe you have come to Jesus expecting only dessert. There's more to serving Jesus and being a disciple of His than the dessert part of it. A lot more. Maybe you came to Jesus and thinking that it was all hand clapping and chorus singing. Some people have come just wanting to clap their hands and sing the choruses and avoid the sacrifice. And when they hear the word sacrifice, they are out of here or out of there. They are somewhere else. I mentioned 2 weeks ago that Jesus experienced this with some people in John chapter 6. They were out of there. The Living Bible paraphrases, when the hot wind of persecution blow, they lose interest. When the hot winds of persecutions blow, they lose interest. That's verse 3:17, I believe it is. Paul, the Apostle Paul, Ephesians. Scratch that. That's verse 13. Rocks. In Ephesians 3:17, Paul urged the Ephesians to be rooted in love. God is love, is it not? God is love, is He not? be rooted in God, in the love of God. To Timothy, Paul writes concerning church leaders, but also you can apply this to church members, they must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith. It must be well grounded. That's 1 Timothy 3:9. Rocky ground. Then there's the thorny ground, verse 14. Those who hear but are, as they go on their way, they are choked by, and here Jesus in one version gives four things, worries, life's worries, the worries of life, the riches of life, and the pleasures of life. And they do not mature. They're choked out before they can mature. The Living Bible, they listen and believe God's Word, but whose faith is choked out by the worry and the riches and the responsibilities and the pleasures of life. Four things that he mentioned here. Four things, or at least in this translation. Worry. Jesus talked about worry often. I did find a sermon this week by a Methodist minister, James Moore. He has some great sermons and some really great titles, but one of his titles was How to Worry Correctly. How to Worry Correctly. It was an interesting sermon and pretty good sermon. But the, or my opinion it was, and it must have been his, he got it published for others to read. But he, Jesus talks about the fallacies of the problems of worry. Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount, about verse 34, you can see his admonition to forget about worry. Shows a lack of faith. Puts us in the same group with the heathens. They worry a lot. And then he mentions riches. You ever seen people that got rich? They were committed to the Lord until they got rich, and then they didn't have time for the Lord? They had to count their money, I guess. Or walk over their lands. I don't know what happens to them. They get rich and forget about God. I think one of the worst things that can happen to a young person now is to get a lot of money early in life. Be it from a football contract to a record contract in stardom and over and over and over. But it also happens to some preachers that you read about, that you're familiar with, especially the radio and the TV preachers. They got so big. And they got so rich. And they forgot about God. God has seen fit to keep me humble. Keep me moderately successful. And then responsibilities. Those are important things. Nothing bad about riches. Nothing bad about meeting our responsibilities. But Jesus has said if we take care of our relationship with Him first, our responsibilities, our needs will be met. We could meet our responsibilities. Family. Job. How many people have you known that allowed family obligations, job obligations to just crowd God out of their lives? But family is important. Yes, it is. Job's important. You've got to live. Yes, it is. But Jesus says take care of him first. Take care of our relationship with God first. And these things, He will provide them for us. Can we believe that? Can we follow that? And then pleasures. We say that's the only day, if we're talking about church and Sunday, only day I have for myself. You know, preachers used to do a lot of preaching about fishing. Again it. Because it happened often on Sunday. I don't think I've mentioned that, but about three times in over 15 years here. Is that about right? You remember me preaching a sermon against fishing? Those folks are not here. Why preach to them about fishing? They're out on the lake somewhere. Good gracious, preachers. Golfing. Come to the early service and then go on and go golfing. That'll work. The pleasures of life. But it's good to have pleasure. Jesus had some relaxation time, some pleasurable time. He visited in people's homes and just fellowshipped. But he didn't crowd God away. Actually, he was God himself. Think about the people that you know who fit this situation. Something crowds out God from their life. Maybe it's many things, many little things. Not bad things. Always, it could be, but not bad things. Maybe there's something that keeps trying to get between you and God right now. Something that trying to separate you from God right now. It could be Satan trying to separate you from His love, His Word. What are some of the distractions that you are dealing with right now? Is there anything that's pulling you away from God? You're blessed if it's not. Praise God for you. Share your testimony with you. How did you arrive there? And I'm serious when I say that. Anybody got a testimony? Nothing is pulling at their heartstring to keep them out of God's Word or away from worshiping God and serving God. You want to give that testimony now? Is there anything that's calling for your attention that God deserves, that you owe to God? Maybe it's just time that you need to just spend in His presence. And then good soil. The fourth soil is good soil. And I just ask the question, isn't that what we all want to be? Well, if we're a rocky ground, how can we, or if we're packed down halfway ground, how can we become good soil? Or if we're rocky ground, well, if we're packed down ground and the seed stays on top and the devil comes and snatches it away, that the Word cannot get into our lives. You know, God can overpower Satan. He won. Jesus won the battle. He overcame sin and death. He rose to new life. So Satan is no match for Jesus. Unless we go over and get on Satan's team and say, Jesus, don't bother me now. I'm enjoying being over here working for Satan a while. Satan is no match for Jesus. Just cling to Jesus. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Resist the devil and he'll leave you. Can God overpower Satan? He did. Jesus arose. Next question, can God pulverize? That's a big word, isn't it? Can God pulverize the rocks, the stones? Is God a rock crusher if our life is hard like a rock? I believe He can. There's an example I mentioned in the Bible stories last week how God softened the heart of King Darius, that Babylonian king. And the king came to believe in the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He also softened Thomas's heart. Remember that disciple who said, I will not believe unless I see. He softened his heart. He ground it up, didn't he? He come and said, "Here, put your hand here, Thomas. Look at my hands. Feel my side. Touch. Not just see, touch." Can God eliminate thorns? He can. But I really think He chooses. He chooses to give us the strength to endure them. He chooses to give us skin thick enough to endure the thorns of life. You know, we need some thorns to keep us humble, do we not? I believe that God chooses to give us the strength to endure the thorns of life, or the skin thick enough and tough enough that we won't let the thorns drive us away from God. There has no temptation taken us, Paul says, but which is common. God will not allow the temptation to get us, but will, with the temptation, provide a way to escape. So let me conclude by saying, study more, pray more, read more of God's Word. Of God's Word. Turn, if you will, to 208. He gave His life for us. He bled for us. Let that be a challenge. A challenge. That we would stick with Him and grow to maturity. And then become productive for His kingdom. 208, the first verse, Sam. Maybe we want to make a public commitment this morning. That invitation is extended as we stand to sing. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You sent Jesus to die in our place. That He was willing to shed His blood, have His body broken. Lord, we pray that You'll just so live in us that we'll be eternally committed to You. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Y'all moved around back here. Good to see. I looked back there and I said, they must be sick or something. Lost your direction. No, no, no. Good to see you. Good to see you. You can sit where you want to.